Welcome to the Max Living Podcast.
We're here to help you live your life to its fullest potential by taking control of your health, identifying the cause of common health challenges, and removing interference. Whether your health journey has had its ups and downs, you're looking for natural answers to common health questions, or you're an advocate for health freedom, come and join us.
Let's align your health.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Ryan Berlin and Ashley Berlin. This is another episode of the Max Living Podcast. Today we're excited to be talking about morning routines and how to set our day up right so that we win the day.
Yes, and you know what? As much as I love sleep, I also love the morning. It's so good because in the morning, there's just so much opportunity that like, what is going to come that day? What's going to happen? How much fun are we going to have? Like, I love the morning, so much anticipation for what's about to happen.
That's good. You love to live in the potential of like what's possible.
Absolutely. Okay. So let's talk about this because I think that there's chatter. There's a lot of chatter and you can go online and you can look up, you know, different things about Tim Ferriss famously said, if you win the morning, you win your day. There's lots of books out there. There's actually some really decent books on, you know, what a morning routine looks like and what you should habitually do every single day. And I think that the interesting thing for me is that diving into this conversation. I know I went to the Tony Robbins Unleashed to Power Within, the UPW experience, and it was wonderful. And one of the things that they hit on was, you know, a morning routine. And so I came back and I wrote out my morning routine while I was there. You know, that was one of the exercises that we did. And it was like, I'm going to do this, hit this, hit this, hit this. And it was almost a page long that I had written out. And I came back from UPW in that first week, my morning routine was a 3-hour process every morning. And by the fourth or fifth day of it, I was like, this is not sustainable. So I think one of the big pieces is that we're going to dive into this conversation. We're going to talk about, you know, some items that would be critical to a good morning routine and some items that would be really good for a good morning routine and some items that like, maybe if you can fit that in, maybe not, I don't know, but there's for you, the biggest piece of this is that you have to be able to shut out all of the noise and focus on what would make you have a good, sustainable morning routine. What's important to you? What needs to fill your cup? What are the areas? You know, we talked last week on the podcast about the life wheel and planning for, you know, the future. And like, what are the areas that need to be filled up in your cup, in your life, in your heart, in your mind, in your soul? And so those are the things, and that's different for everybody. And so somebody down the street might have a morning routine that consists of, you know, X, Y, and Z, and it might look very different from yours, right? So a big piece of this is figuring out what works for you, what's sustainable, what can you do for a long period of time, and what isn't going to be a 3 to 4 hour morning routine, because that morning routine turned into an afternoon routine that sometimes melted into an evening routine.
So the question really is, why a morning routine? Like, mm-hmm. That's the first question we should be asking ourselves. And my question back would be, well, then if not, then what? And so is it, what are we going to just hit the snooze 4 or 5 times, roll out of bed, have no plan for when we get out of the house, kind of meander into whatever the first thing we're supposed to be at it, whatever time we want, 15 minutes late, 30 minutes late, you know, showing up to work, taking the kids to school, they're late. Like, what does that look like? And then what does that look like productivity wise throughout the rest of the day? Like, what's right. The alternative? The alternative is we go through our lives just kind of like creating this, you know, haphazard, you know, attempt at things. And then potentially leaving like a wake in our path also. And the reality is, why are we doing a morning routine? Because we want to win.
Right.
Because we want to win for ourselves. We want to win for our families. We want to win the day. We know that if we can win a day, we can win lots of days. If we can win lots of days, then we can have intentionality around moving in the right direction in our lives.
Right.
And so every morning is just, and it doesn't have to be like, that's the big vision, right? But every morning is just, what are the 1 to 3 things? That's what I would recommend.
Right.
Not go 27. To UPW. But what are the 1 to 3 things that you can write down that you could go, all right, could I do this every day?
Right.
Would I enjoy doing this every day? There's another side of that is, you know, I think some people like turning on music in the morning and kind of getting, you know, get in the shower and play some Christian music or whatever. We're not judging. It can be rock and roll.
Right.
Do whatever that wakes you up, that gets you going, that invigorates you. Right. Like, I remember for a while there, I was trying to read my Bible every morning, even though I like reading the Bible, even like I like closeness to God. In the morning when I was feeling a little bit sleepy was not the right time to read the Bible because it was like my eyes were wanting to, you know, close again. So I had to figure out a morning routine for me that really works. And we can talk about it. I'll reveal mine. But the more important thing is don't carbon, copy paste my routine into your day. Copy paste or whatever. But come up with your own routine, and we're going to give you some examples of things that really help out. And some of them are really, really small, minutia type things that make a big difference the next morning.
Absolutely. And you know what? There's a war on your attention, right? And also your intentions. And the idea that, like, worst case scenario for a morning routine would be laying in bed, alarm going off. Let's say your alarm is on your phone, grabbing your phone, laying in bed, picking up your phone and just popping open social media and just going to town on social media. Second to worst morning routine you could possibly have. Alarm goes off on your phone. Common denominator here, right? Your phone. Alarm goes off on your phone. Pick up your phone. Immediately open email and just look at, like, what's coming at you that day. Like, what, you know, like, those are horrible ideas.
And we're not saying that at some point in time you don't look at your email. That might be part of your morning routine, but letting somebody else determine where your attention goes as soon as you wake up and before you even gotten out of bed is a terrible idea. In fact, I would argue don't use your phone as your alarm clock. Use it as a backup, set it 10 or 15 minutes later, put it somewhere else, keep it in the bathroom, keep it outside of your bedroom, in the kitchen, or whatever you want to do, but like put it somewhere where you could still hear it if the alarm goes off. But get a regular old-fashioned alarm clock.
Yes.
Get, like, I don't care if you get the one that winds up that doesn't take batteries with the bells on top, or you get a battery one, or you get one that plugs in the wall. You know, people are like, well, what if the power goes out? These alarm clocks now have something called a backup battery in them.
Yes.
Like, you don't have, like, we all use that as an excuse. Like, I'm going to use my phone. Like, your phone's the perfect thing. Sometimes your phone charger doesn't work. You know, sometimes, like, your phone can do that too. But get a real alarm clock. I actually use an alarm clock that's designed to wake you up slow.
Yes.
So it actually takes about 5 minutes for it to get to full volume. It's called the One Clock, I believe. But anyway, it's a really cool thing. And what they showed was people who use alarm clocks, who use like the regular standard tones that are like, like those type of alarm clocks actually raise cortisol and stress levels immediately first thing in the morning. And it takes your body time to actually recuperate and recover from those.
Because who wants to wake up like,
Yeah. So even if you're going to use your phone as an alarm clock or something that plays music or whatever, play something that is, you know, putting you in a state of waking up, but also not, you know, crazy, you know, intensity.
Right. Okay. So couple tips along the way for your morning routine as you're setting up on how to have a great experience in the morning. Start morning routine preparation starts at night, right? Let's talk about this. One of the most difficult periods of my life to establish my morning routine was when I had little tiny infant babies. And I'm going to tell you right now, I wasn't winning a lot of mornings at that period of my life. And I have a lot of grace for myself for that. It's okay. It's okay. I was waking up at all hours of the night taking care of babies, right? So the expectation of that morning routine, how well it's going to go, starts in the evening. It starts at what time you go to bed. It starts at, are you glued to screen time before you go to bed so that you're not refreshed and revitalized when you wake up in the morning? How you're going to sleep, how you're sleeping at night is really setting you up for success for in the morning.
We had a friend who is a chiropractor, and he was talking about, you know, just wanting to get something more out of life. And, you know, and so another friend of ours who's coaching him said, tell me about your morning routine. And he started telling him, he's like, you know, do you lay your clothes out in the morning? He's like, what do you mean? He's like, you know, like pick out your outfit for the next day. Do you lay your clothes out in the morning? Like, no, I don't. And the guy coaching him said, my, 9-year old knows to lay their clothes out for the next day. And why is that? It's, you're making a decision the night before about how your next day is going to go.
Right.
You go and you pick out your outfit. How many times have you had a big plan for the next day and then you wake up and you're just not feeling it? So it's like you put on sweatpants and you just kind of, you know, try to get through the day. Well, what if the day before you had already decided, no, I'm wearing this outfit, right? And it's already laid out.
Right.
And you have to look at it when you wake up and go, oh man, because that outfit is representative of what you wanted to do that day.
Right.
What you wanted to achieve, what you wanted to pull off. You know, you thought about the people you were going to see, you thought about the things you were going to be doing, and you laid that out versus how easy is it to roll over and just put on, you know, sweatpants and a comfy shirt and do whatever for the day. So even
100%.
Even laying out your outfit for the day, it helps you to visualize and think about the next day. Micro habits, you know, Atomic Habits, the book talks about establishing micro habits. One of the micro habits that worked for me is just having my workout shoes next to my bed.
Right.
I was like 50% more likely to work out if I just had my workout shoes right there so I could get up, put my shorts on. I would have my, you know, workout outfit laid out for the day and I could put my shoes on and go downstairs and, you know, work out.
Right. So, right. There's even a principle. I love the micro habit thing. There's even a workout principle of micro habits, right? Where let's say you get dressed and you're like, I'm going to go downstairs. You know, you just don't feel like working out. Right. So a lot of times with clients in the past, I would say start a micro habit of a workout. I'm not used to working out in the morning. I don't feel like doing it. Okay. In the morning, wake up, 10 squats, 10 sit-ups, 10 push-ups, micro.
In your
See
bedroom.
How you feel in your bedroom.
Yep.
Literally roll out of bed, get down on the floor, 10 push-ups, 10 sit-ups, 10 squats, stand up, see where you're at. Do you still feel motivated?
Yep. And another micro habit I used, and this was when I was building my morning routine, was getting the coffee pot ready the night before. I like a cup of coffee in the morning. And so it was getting the coffee pot ready and prepared the night before. And this does two things. Number one, it's, again, setting my intention for the day. Number two, it's taking some of the, you know, 27 things that you were doing in your morning routine out of the day. And I'm just doing, you know, like getting part of it ready. But what it also does is it gives me a destination I have to go in the morning. So I have to walk downstairs to hit the button.
Right.
So it already gets me downstairs. And the reward of that, because in Atomic Habits, it talks about you have to have a reward to establish the habit. The reward is I get to smell the coffee.
Right.
I get to have a cup of coffee, but I developed this habit of go downstairs, push the button, get the coffee ready. Another one that I started, and this starts the night before too, is filling up a big glass of water.
Yes.
Just filling up a big glass of water. Do you see, like, these don't have to be 30-minute workout, read 10 pages of a book, you know, stand on your head, whatever. It's little things that win your morning. When you get up in the morning, and I actually usually have a full liter or more of water sitting on my dresser, and I drink it all before I go into the shower, I've already got a liter of water in for the day. I've already won part of my day when it comes to my hydration goals.
Right.
But it just means every night, part of my routine is before I go to bed, last thing I do is fill up a large jar of water.
Yeah.
I use a huge, like, ball canning.
Yep.
Pit, you know, it's like the size of a pitcher.
Right. Right.
And I drink the whole thing in the morning.
Right.
And so it's just these micro habits that we establish that become so powerful.
So you'll see on my nightstand, if you were to walk into our bedroom, which I can't imagine any reason why any of you would be. But if you did, you would see on my nightstand a copy of the 5-Minute Journal. So for me, it's every single morning when my eyes wake up, my first thing, feet hit the floor, I lean over and I grab that 5-Minute Journal and I keep a pencil beside it because I love writing in pencil for some reason. I don't know why, but I keep a pencil beside it. I do my 5-Minute Journal in the morning. And naturally, what that leads me to is while I'm in that state of gratitude after doing that 5-Minute Journal and really focusing on, you know, like what's important to me that day and what's going to be fulfilling for me, it naturally brings me to that state of gratitude and it puts me into a state of prayer almost immediately when I'm done with it. So it's one of those things that one thing leads to the other. And as long as I can, like, not get distracted, you know, the first thing in the morning, as soon as I'm getting up, with other, you know, phones or emergencies or kids or yelling or blah, 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 like, you know, something like that. I really focus on grabbing that 5-minute journal, writing it down, starting that. And that is a cascading effect for me of what the rest of the, you know, what the rest of the 30 minutes to an hour of my morning routine will look like. And I will tell you, don't overcomplicate it. If you don't own a 5-minute journal, then just grab a piece of paper, have a piece of paper next to your bed and write down 3 to 5 things that you're grateful for.
Yeah, it's good. I like that. The 5-minute journal is a practice that we got into years ago, and we talked about it last week on the podcast. So if you guys go back and listen to, what was the episode called? It was about gratitude.
Yes.
It was a couple weeks back, actually. Anyway, go back and listen to that episode and learn more about the 5-minute journal, but it's a great tool to be using for part of your morning routine. I'll give you my morning routine. When I was going through the 75 hard challenge, I established a routine that I really loved. And honestly, it's something that just recently has been a little bit disrupted just due to some logistics that are happening in our house. And we have a guest in our house, but my morning routine was get the coffee pot ready the night before, have the pitcher of water, go to bed. Morning, wake up, drink the water, you know, and go to the bathroom, do whatever I have to do. And I would actually do my 5-minute journal in the bathroom just to have the light and not wake Ashley up if she wasn't up yet, and do my 5-minute journal and have just a few minutes to sit there and reflect. I would go downstairs then, hit the button on the coffee pot, start it up, walk into the little area where we have our gym staged, kick on my Peloton shoes, and cycle for a minimum of 10 minutes. I had no goals, just get on it for 10 minutes. If I want to go hard, I could go hard. If I want to go easy, I go easy, but just put 10 minutes minimum in on the Peloton. Right before I jump in the Peloton, I hit the button on our sauna downstairs. We have an infrared sauna. And this is the thing that I enjoy the most about my morning routine. It's the part that's been disrupted the most. So my morning routine is a little bit off right now because I would get off the Peloton pre-sweat or already sweating. And I would go grab that cup of coffee, already having drank my water, bring it downstairs, get in the sauna where I would have my Bible. And I would read the Bible for about 5 to 10 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes, and just continue to sweat in there while I was just meditating, praying, and doing that. I would then go upstairs, take a cool shower, which we all know wakes us up, like a nice cool shower, and put on some music and get ready. And I was ready to go and ready to win the day. And it was exciting because I took time to pour into myself. I took time to get with God and read the Bible. I took time to be grateful for the day. And then I got my heart rate up, which the science shows that exercise in the morning, people who do that, they tend to have more energy throughout the day than people who don't exercise in the morning. I got my reward, which was my coffee. And it was actually like I got the coffee after the Peloton. So right. I felt like it was a reward for like actually sticking to my routine and doing it. And then I got to enjoy my coffee in the sauna where I like to hang out and, you know, and read. So that was mine, that whole routine. Even though it sounds like a lot, it took less than 30 minutes. And so all I had to do was make sure I woke up in a time frame where I had an additional 30 minutes, you know, outside of getting dressed, et cetera.
Absolutely. So here's what's interesting. One of the principles that I loved that I heard somewhere was that when your alarm clock goes off or when your eyes open up, part of the deal that I've made myself with myself is that I will not lounge around in bed, right? Like my eyes open up. And I count to 5. And by the time I get to 5, I'm up and I'm out of bed. Because for me, there's a lot of times we talk about this a lot just in life, like where sometimes you lose track of time and you lose really like your momentum in those transitions. Right. And so technically speaking, like the rules are off on the weekends. I will say that, like, I will do this. Rules are off for me on the weekends. I'll jump in bed. I'll hug my kids. We'll lay there. We'll talk. We'll cuddle. We'll do all those things. Those rules are off on the weekends. But the time that you lose in the transition from waking up, you know, if you're hitting the snooze button multiple times over and over and over, if you are laying there and you know, like doing whatever and just, you know, being tired. I don't want to get up. I'm cold. It's, you know, whatever outside. The time that you lose in those transitions is a lot. And so making that commitment, I found it was actually a huge difference to say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I'm out of bed.
Yep.
And that was it.
Yeah. I think that's a great practice. You know, it goes along with like never hit the snooze button, like buy an alarm clock without a snooze button.
Right.
You know, and I think that I got made fun of this weekend. I was at a camp for Max Living And there's a previous episode that might be playing in your Max Living office where we were talking about my kids only want to eat potato chips and ketchup and ice cream. And the answer was, stop buying potato chips, stop buying ketchup, stop buying ice cream. Right. And apparently that particular clip is repeating in Max Living offices really across the nation really loud. So all these doctors were and staff were making fun of me. But the same principle is like, I have a habit of hitting the snooze button. Go spend $20 and buy an alarm clock without a snooze button, right? Like, let's remove the possibility of leaning into that, you know, temptation. Or here's a simpler part. Like, this is a novel idea. Take your alarm clock and put it across the room so you can't reach the snooze button.
Right.
Like, oh, I just have a bad habit of hitting the snooze button. Okay, well, like, put it far enough away where you have to physically get out of bed. Right. I literally did that for a season. There was a season with kids and with businesses where it was like, I don't know what was going on, but I woke up and I felt like I had just gotten – like, I felt like I just went to bed. And so getting up was challenging, and so I literally put the alarm clock across the room. So I had to get up, and you remember this, and I had to like go shut off the alarm clock across the room. In fact, my one clock right now is still sitting on my dresser, which is 10 feet away from my bed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, it's critical. And part of this, like, so if you're going to get a little workout in your morning routine, which I highly recommend, it's a great time to do it. Plan out that workout similarly to what you're doing like the night before or whatever. I plan my week of workouts on Sunday evening. So I know the non-negotiables of like what it's going to look like for the rest of the week. I'm into workout programming. I think it's really like interesting. I love messing with it. I love, you know, making sure that I can see the full picture to see what my programming looks like. If you're not into programming like that, no big deal, not an issue. Maybe you know what you're going to be doing every single morning when you walk in there. Maybe you know, hey, I'm just going to choose this on my Peloton bike or my, you know, my mirror workout mirror and or my, you know, tonal thing. What I don't even know all of the things anymore. But you or maybe you're going to a gym that has things programmed to you. What a gift. That's an amazing benefit of going to a gym that programs.
That's part of paying a little bit extra. It's part of paying absolutely. For CrossFit or part of paying for a personal trainer is there's a beauty in somebody else is doing the preparation for you. So all you have to do is show up.
Absolutely. So in the morning, make it so that you only just have to show up and work out. Do it on Sunday night. Prepare, write it out. I have a little book, a workout book, and I prepare it every Sunday night. And it shows me every single thing that I'm going to do for the rest of the week in terms of my morning workouts. I also, here's a big one. You get through your morning routine. You're going to start your day. And this might be incorporated in your morning routine, or this might be like, okay, morning routine's done. And now I'm moving to like, I'm in work mode, right? And for me, I'm a to-do list person. If it's not written down, it floats away into the air and it will never happen.
Yep.
It's not going to get executed if it's not written down. So my very first boss out of college, wonderful woman, very hard worker, taught me how to work hard. She was the one who set me down and said, look at your to-do list, prioritize it in terms of like what you, here was the interesting thing. What do you want to do least? Like what's the thing on there that you would just push to the next day, push to the next day, push to the next day? And very similar concept to Eat the Frog, just knock it out. So literally my to-do lists are the things that I just don't want to do. These are the list of things that I got to get done. Maybe it's for the week, maybe it's for the day. And I'm going to go in right away and I'm going to knock out the thing that I want to do the very least. And then the rest of the day just feels easier.
All right. So let's get back to, let's get out of the practical for a second and get into the mindset of this, because I love where you're going with this. The reason why we develop a morning routine and the reason it is a routine, it's not like 97 possible things that you could do. And on any given day, you're going to choose three of them.
Uh-huh.
No, it's like you have a routine that you do every day. Does it ever change? Sure. But it changes intentionally when you decide to add or delete something.
Right.
But the routine is you get up and you have a systematic process that every morning that I do these few things, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, whatever you have. But I do these things and this gets me ready for the day. Why?
Yes.
Because the next thing you're going to do is what Ashley just said. You're going to start tackling the things that you don't want to do. Why?
Right.
Because the value of your life is directly proportional to the ability of you to do hard things. So the more hard things you can do and accomplish, the better you feel about life and the more you get out of life and the more value you create and the more successful you're going to be, then you want to have a routine that sets you up to want to dive into the hard things. If you roll out of bed, put the sweatpants on, you know, and you're feeling, you know, groggy or whatever that morning, you're not going to want to like check off the number one hard thing on your list for the day and get it out of the way. So this whole idea of a morning routine is because we were designed and we were made to be able to pull off and do amazing things as human beings. You have kids to raise. You have, you know, they're going to be future leaders and teachers, yes, and firemen, yes, and chiropractors. And
yes.
And so you have future people to raise. You have a spouse that you want to make sure that your half of that relationship is engaging with them in a way that's lifting them up and building them up, because God knows you're going to need it one day too, and they're going to be there for you. And so you want to go to work and you want to show up and you want to be that person at work who literally is bringing the energy into the office, yes, because there are those days where there isn't any energy, right? Like in the, like, or wherever you are, like you want to be the person that people are like, great, Ashley's here, we can get to work now,
yes,
right? Like you want to like have that and bring that into your day, and that doesn't start unintentionally,
right?
Right.
100%.
So we have this routine and we express gratitude and we pray and meditate and we exercise and we, you know, whatever it is to get yourself to be your best version of yourself, so that you can have your best day. Ralph Waldo Emerson, great, yes, quote. He said, you know, just in leaving you kind of with this thought, like not that we have to end it right here, but like let's talk about this, is write on your heart that every day is the best day of the year.
Come on.
Like
come
you're going to wake up today. Why would you wake up today and not want it to be the best day?
Absolutely. Don't leave those best days in the past. Don't only let them be in the future in your mind.
Back in high school when I was.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
You know, we for a while there, we actually had some friends around us that like so often, like the best days were high school.
Right.
Like we're 40 years old.
Right. Right.
The best days can't be high school.
Right.
Like 100%. The best days have to be now. And if they're not, then create a way of making now the best days.
100%.
But we can't be talking about 22, 25, 27 years ago.
Yes. And we can't be saying no. Like it's going to be in the future. Like, you know, if only this, like if only I lived in the right house that had the right workout equipment, if only I had the right schedule, if only I had the right, you know, blah, 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 like then I would have the best days ever. Like, no, today,
yep,
today. And how many times have our kids joined with us on our morning routine?
Yeah, a lot. They actually see our consistency and then they want to kind of insert themselves into it and become part of it. So win the day. Which day? Today.
That's great. I love it. What a fun topic. I hope this gave you a lot of insight. I hope that you're walking away and taking 1 to 3 things that you can execute,
yep,
and leave, you know, go on, go.
I was about to say the same thing. Give us some feedback.
Yes.
Give us some feedback. How can you do that? You can make comments on the podcast. So in the notes, leave a comment, rate the podcast, leave us a note. We'd love to hear what you did with your morning routine. That would be a great one. Actually, share this episode. Share this episode on social media. Tag us, tag Max Living, and say something about your morning routine and what you did with your morning routine. And share it so your friends can see it. They can listen to the episode. They can start joining the podcast. And then we can all start getting healthier and happier together. Until next week, this was the Max Living Podcast. Thanks for listening to the Max Living Podcast. To find a doctor near you, head to maxliving.com/locations.